big loud voice. Big loud voice up here.
This is Leanne.
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Morning, everyone. I'm Tyler's mum. It's been about 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
He's been going to Ignite on Friday night. And apparently he left, naughty, Tyler. He left his school bag and outside in the foyer, and it hasn't been returned back. It's a black school bag, and it's a Waikato cheese bag. And it had his cell phone in it and his lunchbox as well. So just keep your eyes and ears open if you come across a bag, and just let the person at the info station know that you've seen or heard about it.
Yeah.
Because my details are over there, and he wants it back, and I want it back as well. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if we can't find it, we might be able to replace it.
Thank you, mate.
That's the royal we. As I'm learning. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. So I wonder if, Carol, if you could get Leanne's details afterwards, and then we'll try and follow that up. Yeah. Okay. Okay, friends, we're back to Joshua. Do you remember that book? So if you've got your Bibles, could you come with me to chapter 7? There are Bibles if no one's brought one. Tony, do you want to grab people? Hands up, people need a Bible? Anyone need a Bible? We've got a hand over here, that's cool. Anybody else need one? No, that's cool, okay. There's a few hands over here. This must be the biblically illiterate lot over here. So just over here. Yeah, was there another one there? Okay, we're back. Now, this is a bit of a lengthy reading, so please stick with me on this one, but it's important. And I'm taking a big risk this morning, potential for misunderstanding, as per not normal. Let's read this chapter 7. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burnt against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Haven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai, I always think of artificial intelligence when I read, anyway. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes, as you do, and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. And he and the elders of Israel did likewise, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say, when in Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" And the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with them no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. Are you up with the story? Are you still listening? Verse 14, in the morning therefore you shall be brought near by your tribes. And the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who has taken the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the clans of Judah, and the clan of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the clan of the Zerahites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought near his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the God of Israel and give praise to him, and tell me now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among us the spoil, a beautiful cloak from Paris Techno, from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. Then they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the cloak, and the bar of gold, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen, and the donkeys, and the sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all Israel stoned him with stones. And they burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. Chapter 8, verse 1, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise, go up to Ai, and this is the second time. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Okay. Have you read that before? In the last year. Not easy, eh? Okay. Let's pray. God, you are a strange God at times. And we are to walk carefully with you and around you. Help us not to be overly casual with you, but nor do we want to run away from you. Help us to approach you appropriately and to walk with you carefully. And I need help this morning, Lord. So if there be stuff this morning, Lord, that I share that really is not pleasing to you, I ask for forgiveness in advance. And I ask that these dear folk here will soon forget. But if there is some stuff this morning that is merit of your favor, may your Holy Spirit fan that stuff into a flame and may it burn within us. So we commit this time really to you, the teacher. In your wonderful name, amen. Amen. It is nice to be back, guys. It's different when you come back to your own people. you know, when you do so many other groups, it's nice to be back with your own people. It's actually scarier to be back with your own people. Because you can go to all these other groups and do your stuff, but actually I'm a bit scared when I'm with you guys. Because you look scary. But anyway, let me just replay the tape. There's a number of scenes and a couple of problems that emerge out of our text this morning. Opening scene, Jericho. We know this story. They did the Mexican wave around the walls of Jericho. And what happened to the walls? Came tumbling down. By the way, Jericho was like a military garrison. Very few civilians lived in the place, actually. It was a kind of a military place that guarded, protected the travel and trade routes into the hill country. Then the Israelites, they are at war with Jericho. Now, when I last preached here, which was about 4 months ago, I gave a talk on why the war thing. And I said that it really wasn't about war. It wasn't about ethnic cleansing, and it wasn't about genocide. If you want to get that tape, it's on the website. Okay? If you need a cure for insomnia, go there. All right? So the Israelites, they defeat Jericho. The walls come tumbling down. There is a foot soldier, scene 3. And the foot soldier, his name is? Okay. I'll try this section. His name is Achan. Remember we read about him just 20 seconds ago? There's a foot soldier by the name of Achan, and he's going through the rubble of Jericho. And as you would, he sees something in the rubble and the dust, and it's sparkly, and it looks good. He sees a bit of a tunic, and he sees some silver and some gold. And so he picks it up, and he stuffs it into his outfit. Scene 4, he goes back to his house, and he sticks it under the floorboards. Well, it was a tent, but you get the picture. He sticks it into his, in full view of his family. That's how they lived. Scene 5, are you with me? Scene 5, what happens next? The Israelites, they go to attack Ai. Smaller place. They get done over, the Israelites. They get defeated. 36 of the Israelites are killed. Joshua, next scene, he does the maths. He can't work it out. They defeat the big place like Jericho, but they get defeated by a smaller place like Ai. So he comes back, has a quiet time with his God. This is Joshua. And he has an epiphany. In the epiphany, he hears God's voice. And God says, what did God say? Tell a person next to you. Oh, yeah. Am I too loud? So I'm going by them. Yeah. Okay, guys. Have you got it? Ruby just told me I was speaking too loud. Have you got it? That Achan, what did he do? He took some of the devoted things. And then what happens next? They single out Achan. He comes to the front of the class. He's in trouble. He's in serious trouble. And he is severely punished. Now, I don't know what you do with this passage this morning. It's a great job that I have. I see two problems that emerge out of our text this morning. Do you see a couple of problems? What problems do you see in our text? I mean, what upsets you? What kind of goes, oh my goodness, what is it with you? Tell the person next to you, what is one of the problems that you see in this text? Go to it. Is that better? Is that better? Okay, guys, here we go. Here we go. Here is the first problem that I see. The punishment, did it fit the crime? Now, we could take a great vote, a Baptist vote. I mean, really, you read that text this morning, and you see that this guy, Achan, he took a bit of label gear from Paris, Texas. Therese Cooper. Karen Walker. You know all the labels. He took a bit of label gear and he took a bit of loose change. Bits and pieces of silver and gold. And for that, he was burnt and stoned. Now, I don't know what you do with that. My first question is, did the punishment fit the crime? So, what do I do with that this morning? Did you think of that one? Yeah, I think we did. What I do with that is this. There are a number of things we have to realize. That number one, this is a nation at war. Number one, it is a nation at war. Do you know during wartime there are stringent regulations, even today? In wartime, there are a new set of rules and everybody, but everybody has to abide by them for the sake of the security of the nation. That is the context here, number one. Number two, that Achan was explicitly told, along with the rest of the soldiers, not to take anything. And everybody signed on to that agreement. That's number two. Number three, that this morning, my friends, we are in the school of obedience. And there are lessons of obedience. Okay? This morning, we are in the school of obedience, and there are lessons of obedience to learn. And we need to learn these lessons. And you see, Achan, he was told not to take anything from the rubble, from defeated Jericho. And he was being asked to obey. And what Achan did was that he disobeyed. And you know, when you tell this kind of story to people today, they go, oh, come on. You know, what is your faith like? I mean, is your God a big killjoy? I mean, is it wrong to enjoy some label gear? I bought this jacket here in Melbourne. Not bad. And I bought it for $80. You know, that's what Melbourne shopping is like. And I like this jacket. And you know, people say, you know, is it the case with you Christians that if you see a bit of label gear and you see a bit of dough, you can't enjoy it? You know, I mean, is that what your faith is all about? And I say no. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, you can look it up later. It says that God has created all things to enjoy. Ruby is forever telling me, don't wear that, wear this. She dresses me, don't go there. So that's not what is going on here. And then other people say, whoa, if we become a Christian and join this Christianity thing, you know, your God is so petty. You know, he gets upset over small things. And it's like if we join your church, you know, like Malcolm and Stephanie did this morning, do you guys have a kind of a checklist? You know, do you have a petty legalism here? you know, that you can't do this and you can do this and you can't do this and you... I mean, what kind of church are you? And if we do the wrong thing, will you take us out back and stone us, you know? People, this morning, something is going on in this passage, and it is this. You see, it is not about the label gear and the loose change. Behind that small stuff is a big issue. And the big issue is, Achan, is your heart fully devoted to me? Because when Dale and Aaron, they did those, led that. Did you enjoy the worship this morning? It was brilliant. And there was a song that they put up there, and I didn't know they were going to do this, but there was the song, Yes, I Will Follow, and We Will Follow. It was Dale. And that song was there, and all about following Jesus, and we all sang it. I heard you. Do you know what our God is like? He goes, okay, I'll test that. I'll do a number on you. I'll pick you up on that. So he'll come to someone and he'll say, I want you to stop playing golf. And he'll go to another person and he'll say, I want you to stop going to the movies. And you go to another person here and you say, I want you to stop smoking. And you go to another person here and I want you to stop reading novels. And of course, our response to that is, God, what? I mean, there's no harm. I mean, get a life. Is that right? And God says, I'm testing you. And it's over a small thing. Are you willing to stop this small thing? Is your heart fully devoted to me? Don't you just love that? But did you get that point? That is what's going on here. So that's the first lesson. Now I'm going to take a risk. There is a second lesson, and then I'm done. Did you notice, here's the problem, the second problem that comes out of this text. Did you notice that in Jericho, they weren't to touch anything? Did you notice that one? And then in Ai, were they allowed to touch stuff? Yes. Do you know when some people read that? They go, oh, there you go again, your God. And they go, how inconsistent is your God? It's like your God is arbitrary. It's like one day your God is like this, but the next day your God is like this. I mean, he's forever changing his mind. Did you pick that up? In Jericho, don't touch the stuff. In Ai, you can touch the stuff. So what do I do with that? Well, I'm going to take a risk. I want to talk about drinking alcohol. You Baptists. Let me share my own story on alcohol. When I was being brought up as a lad, my parents don't come from a Christian home. My parents, they taught us how to drink moderately. They were very good. So when I was, 13 or so, we could drink a shandy. Do you remember what a shandy? No, you probably don't. A shandy is a mixture of beer and lemonade. you know. And then when I got a little bit older, we would have a wine at the dinner table. Okay? So I was brought up to drink moderately. And none of my siblings have issues around drinking excessively. We had great parents who taught us how to drink moderately. Then I became a follower of Jesus. in my early 20s, 20 or thereabouts. And I sensed that Jesus, as my leader, and by the way, he's the kind of leader that I want to obey because he's completely trustworthy and he has such affection for me and he's awesome. And I do not mind at all saying to him, I want to be obedient to you because I know it won't be oppressive. I know it'll be liberating. He has my best interests at heart. Isn't that fantastic? So when I became a follower of Jesus, I sensed he asked me to stop drinking. And so I went into a dry season. And the dry season lasted for about 15 years. Okay? And then I got to the age of about 35. And then I sensed that I could jump into a wet season. So I started to drink again, and not drink excessively, but enjoy a glass or two of beer and a glass or two of wine and so on. And that season lasted for about 5 years. Then I got to the age of 40. Now I'm nearly finished, by the way. Then I got to the age of 40, and I felt that I could, I think it was about 45 actually. And I got to about the age of 45, and I sensed that I had the freedom from the Lord in my spirit to drink again. And currently now, as some of you know, I do enjoy a glass or two of beer and a glass or two or three of wine. I really enjoy a Pinot Noir. I love a beer on a cold day. I mean, a hot day after doing a bit of yakka, all that kind of stuff around the house or something. And my point is this. I mean, on alcohol, I don't think anywhere in Scripture we're told that it's definitely in all places at all times with all people prohibited. And again, I think that from Noah right through to Jesus, they enjoyed a drop or two. Is that right? And then I think there is a warning, though, about drinking, definitely, and there is a prohibition against drunkenness. Yes? But where I am up to is that there are seasons in my life where I wasn't to touch. And there are other seasons in my life where it's okay to touch. My point is, in Jericho they couldn't touch. In AI they could touch. There are different practices for different seasons. So you take my lovely wife, my chemically aided blonde. You take Ruby. There are seasons when you can have her on. There are seasons when you mustn't. In public you do it. In private I get killed. But you take Ruby. And Ruby won't mind me sharing this, I hope. See, Ruby, it's always been around novels. Is that right, Rubes? For Ruby, it's been around reading fiction, actually. And it's such a small thing. And you go, what's the big deal? But you see, with God, it's not the thing itself. It's the bigger issue behind the thing. Ruby, is your heart fully devoted to me? You say that it is. So I'm going to do a number. And I'm going to test whether your heart's fully devoted. So the Lord, in his own mysterious ways, has come to Ruby and said, Ruby, I do not want you to read fiction novels during the week. And she's had a season, is that right? Where that's the test. But she's had other seasons where it is okay. Is that right? So that's what God does in the school of obedience. My friends, He comes to us often around the small stuff, the very stuff that we go, oh, what's the big deal? Do you know what I've noticed with Christians? Christians in this country go like this. They say, yes, God's will. God's will in the big stuff and my will in the minor stuff. Am I right or am I right? Whereas God says, no, no, my will in the big stuff and my will in the small stuff. But there'll be different practices for different seasons. You just need to know the season you're in. So to finish, we're going to finish our service this way. Have you heard the story about George Steinmetz? True story. I read it in a business magazine. George Steinmetz, he was an engineer par excellence. And he had to look after this complex piece of machinery. And he knew it inside out. But he was getting old, George. And his day of retirement was fast coming to an end. And so they put on a party for him and he left the firm. True story. And everybody thought that his underlings, you know, the up-and-coming engineers, could look after this complex piece of machinery. But could they? No. And soon it kind of broke down, this complex bit of machinery. And they didn't know how to fix it. So they rang up George. And they said to George, George, could you come in? And he said, yep, sure. So he came in. And do you know what he did? He walked around the piece of machinery 6 times. He pulled out a piece of chalk. True story. Piece of chalk. And he marked the machinery just there. He said, that is where the problem is. Then he went home. The apprentice, you know, engineers, they went in there. Sure enough, that's where the problem was. They fixed it and it went running. You know, it went up and running. Some weeks later, they get an invoice from George. True story, an invoice. And the invoice is for $10,000. $10,000. And of course, the firm is up in arms. And they go, whoa, all you did was walk around this jolly piece of machinery and pull out a piece of chalk. Could you tabulate, itemize? So he sent back another invoice. And he said, $1 for the piece of chalk. And he said, $9,999. To know where to place the mark. And my friends, we have a God who knows where to place his mark. A very small mark, actually, on a very small item. And it's not about the small item. It's about whether our hearts are fully devoted to him. What do you think? So this is the school of obedience. And there's a lesson of obedience. So is there a small item that you know God is placing his mark on? And you're struggling to give that very small thing up to him. And it could be an innocent thing. Often they are. Often they're good things. Like gold. Do you see what I mean? Like a car. It can be an incredibly good and innocent thing, but that's not the issue. It's whether we're willing to give it up if he's asking us to. Can we stand up? Let's be still and quiet. Let's just be still and quiet. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here. We're just going to ask him to come in greater intensity and to place his mark, or to remind us about a mark. Jesus, you have heard these rambling words from your servant. But there is something deeper and more profound here. and that is your lordship. And that you do test us at times. Not all the time, but sometimes. And you ask us to surrender good and innocent little things, to see if our hearts are fully devoted to you. And then at other times you give them back. So Lord, are you speaking to some of us this morning? Now, if you sense that you have been spoken to this morning, I want you to come to the front now. I want you to make your way down to the front here. It's over a small thing, a good thing, an innocent thing, but it's about surrender. So if you sense that you're being nudged, your heart is beating faster, and you just have this vague kind of, yes, yes, I think, yes, you come to the front now. Come to the front. I shared my story around drinking. I'm asking you to be vulnerable and transparent this morning too. So you come to the front, please. Thank you. 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 There are more. Thank you. There are more here. It's not a critical reflection of you. It's just it's over an innocent little good thing, but it's a test. Is there someone else? Thank you. Is there someone else over here? This part of the building over here, to my left. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray to close our service. Could you all have your hands extended out this way? Back towards these dear folk who have been honest. Our Lord, we come to you as people who are knit together. And our lives overlap with each other, and it's a great thing. And part of that is just to be honest with each other, to be transparent, and to share where we're currently up to, rightly or wrongly. And I've done that this morning, and these dear folk that have come up this morning have done it too. And you are their shepherd. You love them. You have great affection for them. You are their forgiver, their cleanser, but you are also their leader. And they're wanting to respond to your leadership, not mine, but to your leadership. We pray for them wisdom. We pray for them discernment. We pray for them understanding. We pray for them courage. We pray, Lord, that they will walk the path that you're calling them on, and that their hearts will be more and more for you, because we know that your heart is for them. So bless them, Lord. Bless them. Lead them. Instruct them. Teach them. Help them to make progress in your wonderful, wonderful name. And in a sense, Lord, we pray that for each of us. We lift our eyes up, we lift our heads up, and we say, you are Lord. And we pray all of this in the resurrected name, the life-giving name of Jesus. And we all said, Amen.